I thought that we were done with the therapy talk on last episode. Now both of us in the chair.
Right. We both need therapy. Like, we need a third person here to help us through our pain, annoyance. I don't even know what I don't, like, I feel like I've been talking about this. I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like whatever has been brewing in my emotions for the last 48 hours is going to be just laid on the track, if you will. Let's start off with the only good news that I have from my end in the last month. And what happened was, it's all downhill from here. What happened was, Tiger won the first ever PGA Tour event to be held in the country of Japan.
Oh, I didn't realize it was the first ever. That's kind of cool.
It was called the Zozo Championship. You know, Tiger had an arthroscopic procedure done on his knee like 2 months before the tournament, and nobody knew what to expect from him. I mean, I guess he pretty much crapped on everybody because he shot 4 rounds in the 60s. He bogeyed the first 3 holes of the first round and then proceeded to annihilate everybody. Now, why is this win significant? Well, this is victory number 82, which is now tied for first in all-time PGA Tour victories with Sam Snead. Only needs one more to stand alone.
So I think he'll get the one more. It doesn't matter when.
Doesn't matter when, yeah. And since he won the Masters, like, they kind of just had this hype building for months. But then he didn't play that well. So it was like, okay, I don't know when he's going to get it. I don't think anybody was expecting him to just come in and do what he did a couple weeks ago. But I guess we don't know anything. So now I don't know if he's going to pick himself for his own President's Cup team, which is the United States versus the rest of the world. The United States has dominated President's Cup, so I don't even think he needs to pick himself as a captain's pick.
But I feel like he will just because he can.
Yeah. So if he does, I don't think he's going to pick himself to play like every session. Like, they basically play 36 holes a day for 2 days and then another 18 on Sunday. So,
oh, that just sounds terrible.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he's going to pick himself to play all those holes, but I guess we'll find out.
That's a lot of holes.
But he played 27 on Saturday of the tournament that day because I guess a huge typhoon came near Japan, and which caused massive flooding. Like half of the course was underwater.
Oh.
I don't know how they got that course look the way it did after like 24 hours, but it was ridiculous. Anyway, that's all the positive news I got.
Start to the NBA season?
It only took one game for, what did I say last podcast? Five games before you saw Russell and James going back and forth with each other. It only took one.
They're going to be special this entire process.
They got obliterated by Miami last night. I think the score was like 41-15 after the first quarter.
That sounds about right.
The Warriors could have the first pick in the draft next year.
They really could. The last like 5 years, the Warriors are getting all of the bad injury luck right now. Like all of it. So Steph broke his hand, had a minor procedure done, and is now expected to miss a minimum of 3 months. If he's not going to be back till January, he should probably just sit for the entire season and just save his life or his energy or his threes or his whatever, because there's literally no reason for him to play this season at all. None.
Draymond's hurt now.
Yes, Draymond's hurt. Draymond's like kind of not, he's not fake hurt, but he's not like, he's hurt like he's going to miss a couple of games. Like, not.
He better hurry up because he gonna be the number one option when he comes back.
Which is insane. No team should have Draymond be the number one option. Sorry, guys.
Look, I know opening night, Charles Barkley hurt Klay Thompson's feelings when he was on set, and Charles told Klay that they weren't even going to make the playoffs. Of course, you want to be confident in your team, but let's be real. Without KD and Klay and teams being able to focus all their energy on stopping Steph, it was going to be some tough sledding. Now it's a foregone conclusion.
It really was.
The Lakers have gotten off to a better start than they did last year.
That is always great. I feel like the Lakers might give me a little bit of hope. You might hear me being a more vocal Laker fan over the next several months, just because they're the only hope I have left. Like, I feel like I just can't look a gift horse in the mouth, and I just should probably stop being uber critical of a team that I actually like. And
KD, even though he's hurt for the year, is still being his sore loser self.
I mean,
it's great that he's being open with the media and, you know, saying what's really on his mind, because I caught so much flack from friends and random people because I didn't know what I was talking about when they were going through this mess. And with every single story that keeps coming out, what we said wasn't that far away from the truth. He's admitted that he never felt part of the team when he was with them.
See, I don't know. I feel like, how do you not feel like part of the team? I can appreciate that he doesn't feel part of the team, because I think he thought he was going to walk in and it was going to be his team. And I think that there's a thing about it, like, players just don't get that, like, being your team often doesn't always have anything to do with if you're the best player or not.
He admitted that little tiff with Draymond at the beginning of the year festered in him and had at least a part to do as to why he left, which is kind of soft.
But really? You can't have conflict with people?
From the very beginning of that season, all the talk are surrounded his free agency. He ain't the first one that's happened with. That happened with LeBron twice. That happened with Kyrie. That's happened with a bunch of star, Anthony Davis.
It happens with everybody.
So why is he getting all bent out of shape about it? If you didn't feel like you were part of the team and Draymond called you out on it, what you got a problem with?
I mean,
you could have shut him up and then I thought you did shut him up, judging by your play the rest of the season, which leads us into him getting hurt. Maybe he wanted to come back and prove something to his teammates by coming back and being their savior in the finals.
Here's what I think. Also, I think in general, this is something that drives me nuts. Okay, so you didn't feel like you were part of the team. Did they not do something to make you feel like you were in part of the team, or were your expectations set at a place that were always unrealistic for the situation you were going in? Because, like, I feel like that's the thing that people don't evaluate. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever feel like I belong. But did you ever articulate what you needed to help you feel like you belonged? Did you ever... what did you do to try to belong? Because ultimately, you knew you were walking into a tight-knit team and a team that had been together since they got drafted. Like, you knew that's what you were walking into. So you, like, obviously they were going to welcome you, but you weren't going to be one of the guys immediately because you didn't have the history with them. That's literally just common sense. So you build rapport over time. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And also, like, just where they were in life. Steph's married with 3 kids. Draymond got a kid and a fiance. Klay, he's now got a serious girlfriend. Like, Klay and Steph came from, like, a similar situation. Like, dads are former players and all of that. But they also were together when Golden State wasn't any good. So, like, they went through the fire and built their relationship before you got there. And you are, of course, going to be kind of intruding on that. Not because of any malicious intent, just because that's life. I mean, Smiley, you met all of us in college, and there was all of this history and all of these things that we, like, our little group of friends had that you were not a part of because you didn't know us. Were we intentionally trying to keep you out because we were talking about stuff that happened over the past? Did you think we were?
I didn't care. I did my own thing.
Right. And then you just kind of became part of the group, and now you're closer to everybody than everybody else is.
These are facts.
They are. But, like, when you enter a group of people who have built friendships and built bonds through going through stuff together, it's not going to be like this magical fit that you just magically are one of the guys or that you're the most important person to the group. That's just how it is. Sorry, dude.
And now, I mean,
he's going to try to get, he's going to try to feel together and wanted with Kyrie Irving, which is the most bizarre.
Yeah. And the thing is, he can't even do that right now because he's
like, it's the most bizarre thing that he feels more wanted around, like, and included in Kyrie Irving's world, which.
And now there's, you know, they brought out that story about Kyrie having mood swings and the team doesn't really know how to handle him. I'm like,
I mean, okay. Everybody knew he was crazy.
He thinks the world is flat.
You know, I just can't. I mean, I think you already knew that I couldn't deal with Kevin Durant, but like Kevin Durant's like the definition of the kind of person I can't, like, I just can't with. And as you continue to listen to this episode, as we get into like the meat of it, you're gonna understand that like
there's a lot that you can't right now.
Like, let's be really, really honest. I need people to be like, they need to think through things more critically for me to be able to deal with them. In case you missed the memo or the sledgehammer.
If I wasn't talking into a microphone right now, I'd really be laying on a couch or something, pretending I'm talking to a therapist. Because this is where we're at right now.
Being a Florida State fan over the last two decades has been incredibly painful. I just think that, like, Florida State fans forget how painful it's been. Because there was that, like, two-year period where things were, like, amazing highs.
Yep, and they got spoiled.
Which is so funny because 2 years out of 20 is not the definition of spoiled.
Yeah, no. Florida State has only had three and an impending four football coaches in 40 years. And every time we've gotten a new coach, it has been the absolute messiest situation. From the first time when they didn't know how to break it to Bobby, that it was they were trying to get him to leave. And then they made Jimbo like the coach of waiting. So that entire 2009 season was just a dark cloud. Right,
because in Jimbo's contract, it said that, like,
if he wasn't a head coach by a certain year, that he was gonna get money.
Right, basically.
And then when Jimbo's last year was an absolute crap show.
Yup.
He stopped doing his job for the last, I don't know how
six
long.
Six, 8 weeks of the season.
and set the program back. And then they brought in somebody who apparently the boosters didn't want, but he loved Florida State. And this entire last year and a half has been entire crap show. And now here we are in this big pile of mess known as the current state of Florida State football.
Oh my gosh. So it's a really fun juxtaposition because FSU, Florida State University, is doing incredibly well. Like,
oh, yeah.
Moving up, making our degrees worth more day by day. Making it, like, me looking at it like, is my kid going to be able to get into FSU when he gets that old? Like, FSU as a university continues to make me proud. This football program, though. Yeah, we should be basketball fans. Can we start there? We should be basketball fans. Like, it's just less stressful being an FSU basketball fan because your expectations aren't super high. And honestly, like, let's also be really realistic here. They're the more well-run program of the two. So.
You are absolutely correct.
We're going to be. So that's the outcome. Smiley, we are going to be FSU basketball fans. Basketball season starts here shortly. We're going to leave football in its corner, and we're going to be basketball fans. So for those of you that missed it, lived under a rock, Willie Taggart got fired on Sunday. FSU paid him the $17 million buyout because apparently we looked like trash against Miami. I don't know why anybody expects us to look like anything else.
To all my fellow Seminoles who I've gone back and forth with over the last couple weeks trying to tell them that this probably wasn't going to happen considering the fact of how much money we were going to have to pay out. You might mean to say to this egg on my face, like, haha, they told you. Let's be real. This money was raised privately, meaning they had no intentions of paying him $17 million to quit coaching. Some private dudes probably played poker Friday night. Like, let's go to this game tomorrow and see what happens. And here we are.
Yeah. This was definitely boosters coming together. And as we go through this, you're going to hear lots of times where I'm like, this would have been a better use of the money. Because my biggest problem with this is everybody has been saying for however long that FSU has a lot of like money problems. And if you thought that raising money to fire a coach without fixing underlying issues was a better use of your dollars, then just, you know, I'm just saying right now, you could have finished the football only practice facility and gotten rest of that fundraised for. You could have called the bag man and dropped some dollars in these recruits so you could actually get them to come to Florida State. There are lots of places those dollars could have gone that would have helped the program regardless of who the coach is, instead of giving it to Willie Taggart to not coach football anymore. But hey.
Courtney, can you define the term bag man for those who may not know?
I'm going to find the article, the bag man, and put in the show notes. Because the bag man is essentially the boosters that are paying money to recruits to get them to come to said whatever university. I don't know who bag men are in Tallahassee and for Florida State. I don't know who any bag man is, but I do know that there are lots of articles. You can Google it. There are lots of YouTube videos. There's all this information out there about the bag man and the cash bags that they drop for recruits to come to their schools. I mean, they're not usually literally dropping bags of cash, guys. They're really not. But like, the dollars that they use to entice young 18-year-olds to attend your school.
Basically, if anybody has ever seen the movie Blue Chips, I would suggest that as a watch. I think his name was Happy. I think that was the bag man that was in Blue Chips with Nick Nolte and Shaq and Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, so there are lots of things that you could do with what is going to turn out to be somewhere in the neighborhood. I mean, this is not going to be the end of it. You don't just pay Willie's buyout and then it's done, because you gotta
pay all the assistants buyout.
Right. And then you gotta also pay the new head coach's buyout from the current school that they're at, especially if the rumors are true that FSU wants a current or a Power 5 coach that has multiple years of experience in the Power 5, which means you're trying to hire somebody who already has a job, which means they have a buyout that will be equal to and potentially more than the one they paid to Willie Taggart. That's where I get this could be close to a $50 million endeavor.
Let's talk about what happened on the field first. Cam Akers could have easily, over the last month, been considered our best option at quarterback. And he's a running back. But he played quarterback in high school. We don't have any decent quarterbacks
at all
on the roster. Alex Hornibrook doesn't know when to throw the ball away. And James Blackman is highly inaccurate,
especially in the short passes, which is crazy.
Our receivers don't know how to line up.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Our offensive line can't block anybody.
But we knew that was a problem. The rest of this stuff.
Our quarterbacks got sacked 9 times against Miami.
I mean, everybody also knew that Miami had a disgustingly good defensive line.
But people also thought that our defensive line was going to be able to take advantage of some inconsistencies on Miami's offensive line. And that did not happen. We did not get to the quarterback nearly enough. And because of that, as the game went on, Jaren Williams was eventually able to torch our secondary.
Yep.
Which, I guess if this is a microcosm of this entire bag of foolishness, the last long touchdown that Jaren Williams threw to T. Wiggins, the two Florida State defensive backs that he beat were looking at each other, blaming each other as they were chasing him into the end zone.
And that sounds about right.
And that's pretty much been the story for I don't know how many years now, is our defenders looking at each other, blaming each other while plays are still going on. I mean, we could blame it on the fact that we're missing many of our best defensive players already because they're injured, but let's face it, I don't know how much of a difference that would have made.
I mean, the defense, it is real. The defense has had a lot of injuries to an already pretty weak situation in terms of depth.
They played their hearts out. They really did. I mean, other than those three or four big plays, they really played well. But when your offense can't block or muster any stability, then
everybody
suffers. I felt like we were losing the field position game the entire game. Our punter was horrible. I think he had two or three punts that were less than 20 yards. They started in our territory like five times.
I mean, my husband definitely said that this idea that FSU has so much talent, I really need everybody to forget that exists.
Somebody that I knew from FSU tell me that a decent coach would have been had 9 wins with this roster. I don't know what he was paying attention to, but
I think this roster is not as good as FSU fans think it is. I also think that I think one of the biggest mistakes that happened was switching the defensive scheme from last year for a number of reasons, chief among which I don't know why they did. I still don't know the answer to that question. It's one thing that maybe me to switch defensive schemes over time, but I still don't know why they decided to do it after this year. I mean, you didn't lose a ton of talent. I mean, you lost Brian Burns, and he definitely, that loss is felt. But I think that's also kind of the kind of larger issue, which is that, I don't know if anybody understands why decisions were made. I think I'm not even about, I don't even know if I care that Willie Taggart got fired. I care from the perspective of I wanted to see him succeed. I care because anybody who gets their dream job and then to flame out about it, that's got to be painful. I just don't.
The way they went about it was just a lot of the shortcomings could have been prevented.
Yes. I want FSU across the board to make sound decisions when it comes to finances, business, data-driven choices when it comes to season ticket holders and ticketing data. I want FSU to make sound decisions, and I want us and the fan base to look at the program for what it is today. Yeah, FSU is probably a top 10 job, sure. But if we don't stop thinking like we should just get recruits because we're Florida State, we are never going to get out of this cycle. As my brother said, if we believe that we deserve something because we are Florida State, we will turn into Tennessee. Because nobody owes us. Nobody is required to come to our school. And I don't know why nobody gets that. This was the week and a half of people getting let go, deciding to step down. It was just really funny that one day last week, Nike and Under Armour's CEO stepped down on the same day. And then Under Armour proceeded to announce that they had an SEC investigation going on, and then today McDonald's CEO stepped down. He got fired because he was having an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate.
And here we are firing our head coach because he lost a few too many games. I mean, look, I worked for an organization where, one of my, first big jobs was what I considered a dream job because I was working with a company I always wanted to work with. and the job I got hired to do, the person that was there before me didn't really do a good job. So I was coming in already with, you know, not that big expectations. And, I mean, to my fault, I wasn't absolutely perfect.
I think that, like, one thing that you have to realize, and I think you learn this as you go forward in your career, is that, A, what you assume is your dream job oftentimes is because of a company or organization's external factors, not because of the organization's actual, like, people don't decide that something's their dream job because they know that internally somewhere has a great culture, right? That's just not how it works. People determine what their dream job is based on the external perception of an organization, because you don't know how an organization really exists unless you know somebody that works in it outside of that. So that's number one, which I think Willie Taggart was as much of a victim of. This was the school he wanted to go to, his dream school, his whatever. And I don't know that he asked enough questions about what this job was really going to be about. But I also think that FSU wanted Willie Taggart bad enough, I don't think they stopped and made sure that they were on the same page in terms of who they wanted to hire, what those hires looked like, how much they wanted to spend for assistance. I don't think that those conversations were had at a deep enough level, in part because of time, to actually ensure that both parties were making an informed decision. I think that this is why they say, as a candidate, you're supposed to be interviewing the interviewee. You're supposed to be trying to pull back the onion in terms of, like, what is the status? Am I going to be supported? Are the first 6 months, are their expectations realistic? Like, all of those things are things you're supposed to, like, kind of start to try to peel back during the process of interviewing for a job. Because I think that, like, looking back, like, I was around during the time that you, at your first job, and there were things that didn't suit your strengths in that job from the beginning. I wonder if, like, in your 30s, would you have taken that job? Because I think at that time, you would have just taken any job that the organization had to offer. But thinking like that will always end up with the situation where you being
ceremoniously dismissed.
Yeah. And I think that that is something that I think that people have to understand across the board.
So they raised this money in a week. Meanwhile, as you so succinctly put it while we were talking, all this money that they raised in a week could have been raised previously during time period to invest in better resources that would help Willie better succeed.
Hey, maybe pay the people that he wanted to bring in to begin with as his assistant.
Yep, because apparently Harlan Burnett wasn't even his first or second choice.
Neither was Bob Bell.
But here we are. So what happens next? Because you just paid him $20 million basically to not coach again. You're going to have to pay all of his assistants another, I don't know, however many million, 5, 6. Depend on who the next coach is going to be, which apparently as of...
Everybody seems to think it's going to be Bob Stoops. I just think it's crazy that we're going to hire somebody who we lost a national championship to. Like, I just... that just blows my mind. And it might be because my husband was on that team, but I don't know how I believe that that is what we do.
As a fan base, what are the boxes that you want to check off in a head coach? Do you want to have head coaching experience, or do you want to be a coordinator at a good school?
Here's the thing. The bus rate for coordinators is so high, and I think that for a guy who had been a head coach for how long? I mean, he'd been a head coach for, what, 7 years or something like that? Longer than that, maybe, since, like, he'd already been a head coach, and there's all sorts of rumors about whether or not he was up to the job. Like, they should only want a coach with Power 5 experience and significant Power 5 experience. Like, that just feels like it's going to be, like, a lot more money.
I mean, the thing with Bob Stoops is you don't have to worry about paying his buyout, because unless you want to pay the the $25,000 it might be to buy him out of his XFL head coaching contract.
Yeah, I feel like he just gets out. Like, I don't feel like that's like a thing.
You prefer somebody with head coaching experience, with championship pedigree. Obviously, at the top of the list, you need to have somebody that can recruit the state of Florida, which he did as assistant coach with the Gators.
I think that what you have to think about with recruiting the state of Florida is kids in Florida want to play for the best. They don't care if it's a Florida team or not. So I don't think that you're going to get a bunch of kids to come to Florida State just because you're Florida State. If Dabo comes knocking and Clemson stays on the rip that it's been on, Dabo just came walking. Like, they're going to go.
So, also, the president is on his way out. The AD is on his way out. So maybe Taggart wasn't going to last that long regardless. And honestly, I mean, look, we know that he didn't win football games, and that was ultimately what led to his demise. I think we're just frustrated with, like,
just how all of the talk about them using a search firm plus the boosters being involved. I just am looking at FSU, make good choices, please. And none of this seems set up to make good choices. None of it.
I mean, we can talk about how he wasn't set up to succeed from the beginning. I feel like another reason why this is so difficult is because Willie was such a good dude and he had good intentions and he loved the freaking university, where his last coach talked a big game, but he was ready to get the heck out. And it's like, thing, you know, people like those, you really want to see them succeed. Let's also be real. This is probably not as big of an issue as it probably could have been, but it's especially coming from me and Courtney, would it have been that hard to let a black dude succeed somewhere?
Would it have been that hard to let a black dude be mediocre like Jeremy Pruitt is at Tennessee? That, like, I think that's really my issue. Tennessee ain't better than Florida State. But nobody's talking about firing him in year two. For real, at least. They might fire him after next year, but, like, we'll know there's progress when you can fire, when a black guy can be as mediocre as the white guy sitting next to him.
And the thing about that is, it's easy to say that now, but there were people that thought that Willie should have been fired after game one.
Literally.
After halftime of game one.
Also accurate.
So we get back to that. He was never really given a chance to succeed, and especially as a brother, not given a chance to succeed. It's like, it's hard to see a black coach getting a chance to succeed at any Power 5 school. I mean, they ran Kevin Sumlin off at Texas
A&M. They ran Charlie Strong off of. They ran, like, we can go back to, like, what's the face at Notre Dame?
They ran Tyrone Willingham off at Notre Dame, and then up until now, the largest buyout for a coach ever was Notre Dame paying Charlie Weiss $18 million for him to go back to the NFL and win a Super Bowl with the Patriots. So it's just a conglomeration of a bunch of things that has just made this entire situation just... I've been in a funk since they announced that they were firing him. Like, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know what to say. This podcast is really the first time I'm really, like, getting all this off my chest. And I hope to God two things happen. I hope, number one, if they're going to drop Willie after a year and a half, then they better make sure that this next dude better have this junk tight.
Like, he better have literally tight. Like, you better see a turnaround of all turnarounds. And you better have, you better save your entire recruiting class and then get some players. Because here's the thing. Even if you save the current recruiting class, there wasn't enough talent there to get to a massive turnaround. And even if rumor has it that they're going to hire somebody on Thursday, you still only have like 6 weeks until early signing day.
And you're going to have less time than that just to go talk to recruits.
Right. And so if you can't get somebody in super quickly, then you are going to be kind of screwed. If they've already backchanneled who they want, then all right. But I also recognize that, like, you probably should go through a rigorous, like, screening process with whoever you hire. I don't know that it's going to happen. And I also feel like the amount of recruits you're going to lose this year doesn't equal bringing in the type of talent that you need to bring in to ensure that you are going to be able to be better in the future. Like, I feel like the rebuild is still 3 years away.
So, number two, understanding that this ain't going to be a quick fix. And you need to stay, you need to be realistic about how long it's going to take. And that includes the fan base, who is so spoiled that they think that we should automatically be a top 10 team next year, which ain't gonna happen.
I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's like,
it's a real big difference to sign with an early 40s black guy to sign with like in his 60s white guy. That is a very big transitional difference for recruits.
It's such an interesting dynamic in a switch that I don't know that people are really prepared for how big of a switch that is. Like, it's not like any of the structural problems are fixed. That's, I think, my biggest thing, is that, like, it's not like the structural problems are fixed.
Hopefully it won't be a mess anymore. Unfortunately, it had to come at Willie Taggart's expense.
On to happier notes, at least for me.
I told you, for me, it was all downhill. I don't even want to talk about this, but whatever. I'm sitting here looking at pictures of friends that live in D.C. going to a freaking Washington Nationals World Series Championship Parade. Go ahead. Talk about your freaking championship parade. Those jabronis won the World Series. I was hoping that they would get dusted in Game 7, but...
Well, first of all, I fell asleep during Game 7 World Series, so there was that. I was very sad, because I think I watched more baseball. I don't think I've watched this much baseball since the Rangers were in the World Series when I lived in Texas. I'm telling you, like, my fandom for baseball is so up for grabs, and it usually just kind of defaults to the team that's in the city I live in, because I don't actually have a fandom. But considering the fact that I'm probably going to live in D.C. for the foreseeable future, I guess we're just going to go with it. So if you know me, you know that, like, even though I work in events, I hate crowds. I hate crowds for parades. But this was actually kind of fun. It was down Constitution Avenue. So, like, you had the backdrop of the Capitol. And what was also interesting was, so the Canadian embassy is, like, right on Constitution. So, like, it was hilarious to see, like, the sign that said the Canadian embassy congratulates the Nationals, because the Nationals used to be in Montreal. So that was even funnier. Wow. Just the, like, juxtaposition of that. Maybe I'll remember. I will say I'll remember to post a picture on Instagram. It was fun. Like, I mean, it was really, really crowded. Ran the parade right up to, like, the line of where, like, D.C. police managed versus, like, Capitol Police, which is hilarious if you think about it from, like, an event, like, in boundaries perspective. It was pretty much a straight shot, but they also, like, played music and people were dancing in the streets and doing electric slide and just having dance-offs. It was just, like, a really, and it was also gorgeous out. It was just a really fun day to be, like, outside and in the street in D.C. Like, that, I think, was really the thing. And, like, my kid took so many great pictures and videos because he got to sit on my husband's shoulders, of course, and watch the parade. Finding a place to stand was kind of difficult. They had, like, massive, like, jumbotrons all down the street so people could see. It was just kind of like a party, but it was, like, a very just, like, fun. And, like, I mean, DC isn't, like, massively, like, difficult right now. I mean, it's the politics are the politics, and DC still, the things about the city still exist and it's fun, but it was just kind of nice to be out and just, like, having fun, but, like, not having to, like, deal with the drama of all the rest of the stuff that goes on in the city.
I guess in the grand scheme of things, considering the drama that surrounded the Astros.
Yeah, that's true.
During the World Series, that maybe it's a good thing that they didn't.
I mean, and really and truly, this DC team was just like a lot of fun to follow. Like, they were just like a lot. Like,
if I heard Baby Shark one more time, I'm gonna punch somebody.
There were so many people dressed as Baby Shark. There's so many like pictures and videos and people dressed up as it and all of that. The Nationals really were an easy team this year to root for. I mean, I think that's ultimately like what it was. Like, after Bryce Harper left and kind of all of that drama surrounding that, and then just like a team that just looked like they were having fun together.
I guess that's also a good thing, because a lot of Nationals fans could have easily, you know, directed some vitriol towards the Braves and be like, ha ha, we didn't win the division, but won the World Series. But yet, all they did was talk about Bryce Harper.
Literally, the only vitriol was to...
I feel like last year we talked about in the podcast how he mistakenly said that he was hoping to bring a championship to DC, even though he played for Philly. Maybe next year Atlanta can have a championship parade.
Nothing is ever not possible, but the Braves need to be themselves more.
What if Strasburg came to play with the Braves? I do feel good for him, because he went through a lot.
He really did. I remember the first time I started paying attention to the Nats was right before the season. So the season before I moved to DC was the season of the pitch count.
Yeah.
With Strasburg. And I remember paying so much more attention that year than I ever had before.
Yeah. Oh, well. Happy for you. Wonderful.
It was a good time. Like I said, I feel a little bit like a bandwagon fan, because I'm not really a bandwagon fan. I just don't have a ton of allegiance to baseball teams. So I just go with whatever team lives in the city that is in the city that I live in and just call it a day, because I don't know that I really care beyond that. But it's been fun. And like I said, it's DC is a sports town. Maybe people will stop saying DC's not a sports town. And I think that trading the dumpster fire that is the Redskins for a championship for the Caps, the Mystics, and the Nationals is a pretty fair trade. Because I'm never going to like them. Like, you won't catch me at a Redskins parade, even if we win, unless somebody's paying me to be there for some reason.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, I feel somewhat better now. I can enjoy the rest of my week knowing that we are able to sit down on the proverbial couch and air out all of our grievances with our college football team in the past 3 days.
And apparently, according to everybody on Twitter, by time this episode comes out, Bob Stoops will be our coach. Still can't get past the idea of hiring somebody who we lost a championship to, but whatever. They don't ask me these things.
Well, good luck to Willie and all his future endeavors.
Make sure you invest that money wisely, Mr. Taggart. And dear God, next guy, be better.
That's all we ask.
Make this worth it, please.
All we ask in your name, amen. No, let's stop. We're not praying.
We're not praying for FSU's football team and coaches. Sorry, guys.
More stuff to pray about, but...